Welcome back to The Gift of Grace. Wow, that's awesome music. That is a guy named Paul Wilbur. That song is called Up to the Mountain. He will be coming to the Cleveland area in the middle of July. We'll have a lot more information for you on that in a couple of weeks to come. This is Phil Giuliotti with Steve Garcher, and we're talking about Pentecost Sunday, which is tomorrow. Tomorrow. Yes. It's hard to believe.
Pentecost Eve already. Wow.
Hard to believe. And we've just gone over the accounts from Acts chapter 2 about the actual Pentecost morning. And interestingly, you know, the Lord tells them not to leave Jerusalem. You know, Jerusalem is such an important place. It's just it's the most important piece of real estate in the world. It's, you know, it's the apple of God's eye, he says. And interestingly, in the book of Isaiah chapter 2, it says the law and the word go forth from Jerusalem. The Lord is always committed to Jerusalem. You know, it's Zion. The Temple Mount is where Abraham almost sacrificed Isaac. You know, Jesus is sacrificed in Jerusalem. I mean, Jerusalem is a very, very important place. And even though Jerusalem had just, you know, 50 days ago treated the Lord in such a horrible way, God's commitment to Jerusalem is still there because Jesus says, don't leave Jerusalem. You have to stay in Jerusalem. So the account that Steve read from Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit falls on that room. In fact, it fills that whole house. And everyone who's in that room, there's 120 people, they are all baptized in the Holy Spirit. You know, we use that term a lot. Those of you that are in Pentecostal and charismatic type churches understand that term. Some of you may have never heard the term. Some of you may have heard that term and not really appreciated the fullness of it or don't really think that it's important to you. We can talk about that at some point. But everyone who's in that room, which at this point was pretty much the whole church, those 120 people were pretty much the whole church, in one spot, were all baptized in the Holy Spirit at the same time. And it's interesting to see how the Spirit came. You know, it came like a mighty rushing wind. It's like a mighty wind. Mm-hmm. Didn't say it was a mighty wind. Like there weren't papers blowing around. Everybody's hair was messed up. It said it was like a mighty wind. And interestingly, Jesus talks about how the Spirit is like the wind. He talks about how, you know, the wind blows. You don't know where it comes from. You don't know where it goes, but you know it's there.
The Ruach.
And yeah, the Ruach. And Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. There's this concept of the wind and breath and spirit, which, you know, in Hebrew is the word ruach, and in Greek the word pneuma. They all mean spirit, breath, and wind. So this was how the Holy Spirit was referred to even before this Pentecost morning. Mm-hmm. So it was very consistent. It was like a mighty wind, and it was heard all over the city because all the people that were in the city came over to see, like, what was going on?
Yeah.
Like, what's going on over there? You know, it's like this mighty rushing wind. Let's go see what's going on. And we talked last time about how Pentecost was one of the pilgrimage feasts. So all these people that Steve mentioned from all these different places, they were in Jerusalem because it was a pilgrimage feast. So it doesn't, you know, God doesn't pick the days randomly when the Holy Spirit's going to fall. It's like everybody's there.
Yeah.
And everybody apparently hears this mighty rushing wind through the whole city, right, because everybody starts to go toward the place where the upper room was because they hear this wind.
And then they all start hearing everyone proclaiming the mighty acts of God in their own tongue.
Exactly.
Their own native language.
So they hear people praising and singing, and they were probably waving their arms around and, you know, like crazy charismatics do. And some of them were probably up dancing. I'm sure they weren't sitting at the table with their hands folded.
Probably.
That's pretty much for sure. And they heard these guys, the women were there too, these 120, but they heard these people praising God, probably singing, starting to preach.
Evangelizing,
and everybody heard it in their language. This was kind of the opposite of Babel.
Yeah.
You know, at Babel, God confused the languages. Now, all the languages are there, but everybody understands what's going on.
Right.
Because now is the time of transformation. It's the time of spreading the kingdom. It's the time of proclamation of the word. So everybody hears the word in their own language.
And they're all Jewish believers.
And they're all Jewish believers. This is like the whole church.
Yeah.
There's nobody there from Iowa. There's nobody there from Norway. I mean, these are Jewish people there. The Spirit falls on the place, and everybody starts evangelizing.
The first Messianic synagogue.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
If you will.
So all this whole group of 120 Messianic Jews just goes out on the street and starts preaching. That sounds pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And there was fire. You know, tongues of fire. You know, fire is a powerful thing. It burns and it purifies. You know, John the Baptist said that when Messiah came, he was going to baptize with fire and the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, they didn't have no clue what this guy was talking about because he was weird. He looked weird and he talked weird and, you know, fire and Holy Spirit, what's he talking about? Yeah. He's just some crazy guy. But, you know, he prophesied that and it's, you know, it gives them a burning, you know, their hearts are burning. It thaws them. It's a consuming force. It's a consuming fire. And it also purifies things. You know, you put the gold ore and the silver ore in the fire.
It purifies it.
And purifies it. You burn away all the dross and you got the pure gold, the pure silver.
Right.
So the symbolism of wind and fire, you know, is very powerful.
Yeah.
And then the idea of the languages is just a further indication of now the harvest was going to start. Right. Here was a harvest feast. Now the harvest is here. Now the church is literally born. I mean, the church was there before, kind of in, you know, an embryonic form.
Yeah.
But now the church is really born. And, you know, God now starts to speak through these guys. You know, remember in Exodus chapter 3 when Moses says, oh, you know, you're going to send me? You know, I can't talk. I can't even talk.
Yeah.
You know, God says, don't worry. I'm going to speak through you. Aaron's going to be there. But I'm going to speak to you, tell you what to tell Pharaoh. I'm going to speak through you. Now, God in the form of the Holy Spirit is speaking through these guys. Because if you remember, last time we talked about John chapter 14 and 15, where Jesus said, the Spirit's going to remind you of everything I said. And he's going to proclaim all these things about your salvation. And you're going to understand then what's going on. So when the wind and the fire fall on these guys, not only do they start preaching in tongues and evangelizing all those people, but the Holy Spirit then fills their mind and they start to understand all these scriptures that they were reading, all these things that Jesus said when he was with them, and how all these things were connected together, and everything comes together for them. And it's kind of it's an external thing. God falls on them. The Spirit falls on them. And they're transformed. And now everything has changed. Not only has the new covenant been announced, but now the new covenant is spreading out from Jerusalem. You know, like Jesus always said, salvation is from the Jews. Spreading out from Jerusalem, and eventually it's going to go all over the world. And this is the power of evangelization. This is the power of empowered ministry. You can't do ministry without that power.
Yeah.
Well, you can do ministry, but you can't do effective ministry without that power.
Not going to get too far.
Right. You're not going to get 3,000 people converted in the first few minutes that you're doing
it. Right.
And, you know, Peter and Philip and all those guys that were there, they just were completely transformed, and they're never the same again. And the graces and blessings and gifts that fall on them change them then for the rest of their life.
You know, as you're talking about the Holy Spirit, one of the things that the Holy Spirit does is we refer to the Holy Spirit as the sanctifier.
Yes.
And when you're talking about the fire, it burns up, you know, fire will burn,
mm-hmm.
but it also purifies, you know, it'll purify gold. The pure gold remains.
Mm-hmm.
The elements that are not pure are burned up in that fire. And that's what the Holy Spirit really, in sanctifying us as believers, does. If we are really docile to the Holy Spirit, we allow the Lord to prune us so that we can bear fruit. He takes away every branch that doesn't bear fruit so that what's there will bear more fruit. And if we're really docile to the Holy Spirit, we'll allow the promptings of the Holy Spirit, we'll follow those, and allow God to transform our hearts, our minds, as his, you know, as we immerse ourselves in the Word of God, that we're transformed, and our mind is renewed by the Word of God and the grace of the Holy Spirit. So with the, you know, with the spiritual gifts, if we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm going to read a little bit of this.
One of the favorite chapters of all Pentecostals everywhere.
Amen. It says, "Now regard to spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be unaware. You know how, when you were pagans, you were constantly attracted and led away to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that nobody speaking by the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus be accursed,' and no one can say 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit."
Amen.
"There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different forms of service, but the same Lord. There are different workings, but the same God, who produces all of them in everyone. To each individual, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for some benefit. To one is given through the Spirit the expression of wisdom, to another the expression of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, mighty deeds. To another, prophecy. To another, discernment of spirits. To another, variety of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit produces all of these, distributing them individually to each person as he wishes. As a body is one, though it has many parts, and all the parts of the body, though many are one body, so also Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free persons, and we were all given to drink of one Spirit." You know, and this really leads, you know, it'll lead into Ephesians, where we're one new creation in Messiah. But God delivers the gifts not to what we want.
Right.
But he equips us for his plan and his purpose for our life.
Right.
And while I may, you know, if I see someone prophesying, or if I see someone laying on hands of someone, I go, "Oh gosh, I really wish I would like to do that." Well, it's really not for me to really, that's really not my place.
Exactly.
Because with all ministry, there's things that come with ministry that we like the disciples, we're not really prepared for what's going to be there.
Right.
But the Holy Spirit equips us for that. And that's, again, being docile to the Holy Spirit, allowing God, you know, becoming, maturing in the Spirit, I really believe, is allowing God to transform your life and becoming that person that he created you to be. And to go out and to do what he's asking you to do, whether it's a small ministry, whether it's a large ministry. The primary purpose is, and the important thing is, that you're doing God's will.
Yes.
You know?
And all those gifts, as you say, are to build up the body.
All of them are to build up the body.
You know, you equip the saints, you build up the body.
And being given the gifts of the Holy Spirit, I think there, you know, we have a responsibility to use those gifts according to God's will and not just use them, we don't use them for our own purpose, our own edification, or because there won't be much of an anointing if we do that.
And that's why I say, you know, it's not just for us to enjoy the gifts,
right?
And say, well, here we are in our nice charismatic prayer group, and we love doing this, and we do love doing it.
But
we love doing this, and this is really fun, and this is what we do.
Yeah,
that has to be taken out into the world,
right? The only gift that is for ourselves to really sanctify or edify ourselves is the gift of prayer tongues.
Yes.
Everything else is for the building of the body. And I can tell you personally, there was one time where I was ministering music, and the group that was there, some of the people weren't really willing to be led by the Holy Spirit, and they said, "No, we want you to play some other songs," not the songs that I was really getting the sense to play. And I never experienced such a dryness in ministry before. And I haven't experienced it since then, because I always listen to what the Lord's asking me to do, and I do it. So that was the first and last time I ever did that. But it is, and it doesn't mean that people don't suggest or try to suggest something sometimes, but In going through that experience, I never experienced such a dryness where there was just no anointing,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it was just, wow. but God teaches you.
Yes.
God teaches us. You know, we were going to go through the gifts. What are the gifts of the Holy Spirit? And what are, you know, how do they work in the body? You know, there's word gifts. There's a gift of tongues. There's the interpretation of tongues, and there's prophecy. You know, the gift of prophecy is really speaking, the Lord speaking through the prophet. It doesn't always necessarily mean that it's a prediction of something in the future.
Right.
It's a word for the body.
Yes.
And to edify the body. The gift of prayer tongues, or I should say the gift of tongues first, is a gift of a person speaking a language that they'd never studied or never learned, just as we read about in the mm-hmm. Acts of the Apostles. And if we're in an assembly nowadays and someone speaks in a tongue, there should be the gift of interpretation mm-hmm. that what God said comes forth to the assembly that everyone can understand. You know, because St. Paul says, you know, if I speak in tongues but no one understands, I'd rather speak right. a word of prophecy that yes. the church is edified.
Right.
The gift of prayer tongues is really for the building up of our own personal yes. spiritual life, because it's our spirit speaking with God's spirit.
Yes.
And the Holy Spirit intercedes for us.
Right.
When we run out of words,
right.
when we don't know how to pray, as St. Paul says.
And Paul points out that he prays in tongues more than anyone else.
Right.
And yes, it's a, you know, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit talks to our spirit, you know, and Paul points out in the book of Romans that we don't know how to pray, but the Spirit goes into us and out come these inexpressible groanings, these right. inexpressible words that we communicate with God in a way that we can't do it in our native language.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with praying in English, but this is a different kind of communication.
It's a language of the Spirit. And I think the gift of tongues is probably the most misunderstood gift of the Holy Spirit. And I've heard it explained several different ways, but the way that I always think of it is this, is that anyone who has a child, an infant, when they begin to babble,
mm-hmm.
they are expressing themselves. You can't understand what they're saying, but if you yeah. talk to their parents,
yeah.
they go, oh, okay, I know what yeah. my child is asking for. Yeah. I know what they need. So too are we God's children. You know, we're spiritual infants, and God our Father, you know, the Holy Spirit is speaking, enabling us to speak and to pray
yes.
and communicate with God yes. as mm-hmm. infants, as spiritual
right.
infants.
Right.
But the gift of praying in tongues, you know, there's studies and there have been studies about it, that it is a language. It does develop into a language. If mm-hmm. if you haven't been given the gift of, you know, a new tongue, speaking a language you've never heard before, and that has happened. People mm-hmm. have been in prayer groups where someone speaks, you know, someone's praising God in a tongue, and there's somebody else in the prayer group, and they go, that person they're praising yeah. God in yeah. French or, yeah. or in, you know... yeah. You know, Father Hampsch would talk about, like, somebody was praising God in Hopi Indian one time when
that's right.
he was at a prayer group.
That's right.
And, you know, the person said, I don't know a word of that. I don't even know what that is.
I heard a story one time how it was a church in Montana where this American Indian, Native American, would come every Sunday morning to the service, and he would sit in the back and would never say anything, never do anything. Then when the service was over, he would leave. And so one Sunday morning, there were people in the front praising in tongues, and he got up and went forward, and the pastor said, wow, I see you every Sunday back there sitting. Now, why did you come down? And he said, well, because that guy told me the gospel in my own Indian language. No one else had ever done that before.
Yeah.
And the guy had, of course, no idea what he had done. He was just praying in tongues.
Yeah. And that's the way, you know, that's the way God works. That's the way the Spirit works.
Yes.
You know, there's gifts of faith. You know, 1 Corinthians 12:9 says, to another faith by the same Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But the gift of faith is really, you know, like an inner conviction that God will act in a particular situation. and in a particular way. Gifts of healing. We know that Jesus said, you will lay your hands on the sick and they will recover. You know, and so the gift of healing is God just healing the person spiritually, mm-hmm. physically, mm-hmm. emotionally,
yes.
relationally, or psychologically. Yeah. And not all healing happens instantaneously.
Sure.
You know, there's, it would be nice if it did, but mm-hmm. even when Jesus laid hands on a blind person the one time, and he asked him, you know, what do you see? And he said, well, I see people, but they look like trees.
Yeah.
And then Jesus laid his hands on him again, and he asked him, okay, now what do you see? That's right.
And even Paul said later that when someone in your assembly, someone in your church is sick, have the elders come and lay hands on him.
Right.
You know, these gifts are imparted by the laying on of hands. Mm-hmm. There's something about the laying on of hands. You know, in the first part of the book of Romans, you know, Paul's in someplace else. I think he's in Philippi, and he's writing to the Romans, and he says, I can't wait to get there and lay hands on you guys.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he can pray for them no matter where he is.
Right.
I mean, he could pray for the church in Rome, even if he's in Antioch, but he wants to go there and lay hands on them because there's something about laying hands that imparts the Spirit, that imparts the anointing and this power.
Because you read in the Acts of the Apostles, whenever they were baptizing, whenever someone was baptized in the Holy Spirit, they always laid hands on them. And then they received.
Yes.
They received the Holy Spirit. You know, Peter. There was a beggar waiting at the door, and mm-hmm. Peter, who was with Peter?
John.
Peter and John. They're walking in, and you know, they say, "Well, gold and silver I have not, but what I do have, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, arise and walk." And the guy gets up and walks.
Yeah.
So you know, one, that's a gift of faith. Peter believed that God was going to act in a certain way.
Yes.
And the gift of healing.
Yes.
But the gift of healing is, you know, again, it's that God is going to heal the person, but God's going to heal that person in the way that is best for them. God knows what's best for that person. And
I hear shofars.
I hear a shofar. That's another healing instrument of God.
Yes, it is. It's really a powerful instrument
of God. Yes, it is.
Well, we're coming up on another break here on The Word 1220, The Gift of Grace, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes.